You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
What's up, everyone? Jose Youngs here, the MMAfighting.com, with another new, actually not even another, a new and improved edition of the A-Side. Sitting next to me is, of course, the second most Irish person in MMA fighting, Petesy Carroll.
Hello, Petesy. Everybody.
Petesy, what's up with your hair this week?
It's just got a cut today, so, I mean, it's as good as it's ever going to be. This is as good as it can get. I mean, I'm not complaining. I feel like I look like a dream, to be honest with you.
Well, you this is like a nightmare.
I'm like the post. This is like classic Irish hair. It's called the Celtic fro.
Did you just make that up?
No.
I feel like.
And my freckles. I call them Celtic camouflage.
You definitely made that up, too. Well, I only ask because pretty much everyone in the YouTube comment section goes, "Why is PT always touch his hair?"
Well, it's because it's so touchable. That's what I'd say to that. I'd say I've actually got a lot of nerve damage on my head, but other than that, that's just from fist fighting in the streets. But like, what can you do?
Well, whatever you got to tell yourself. But anyway, of course, this is not our podcast. This is all your guys' podcast. We're trying something a little new this time. We have a director, of course, the one and only Casey Lydon, with help from photographer extraordinaire Esther Lynn. That we are going to tee up your questions so you can see them on the screen, so you can read along with us. And of course, people are going to be listening to this after. You can go back and rewatch them if you want. Or better yet, you could even sometimes send in a video question that Casey tweeted out a link to. You can submit your video and then maybe we'll even get to it. And you can see that later on Twitter. But for now, Casey, tee up the first question from our beautiful listeners. Woo! From one and only supposed MMA fighter, I think you might recognize the name, Aaron Chalmers, tweeted out. From Jordy Shore fame, tattoo aficionado. Now, I'm not quite on his level, and apparently me and him are one and the same in our budding rivalry with one Niall McGrath. I, of course, am Niall's mentor and life coach. I am trying to guide him through life as he is, of course, one of the shortest men on planet Earth, and Aaron really has taken a shine to this young lad to guide him through the waters of negativity. But for now, to his question from Aaron Chalmers. This is a few quick ones, Petesy. Who is your favorite fighter? Who do you hate in MMA? What MMA fighters do you think you could smash? If you were a fighter, who would you sign for? Dream fight, and who is your fighter crush?
Let's get the obvious ones out of the way straight away. My fighter crush is, of course, Sage Northcutt. He looks like a human Clydesdale horse. That's absolutely him every time.
That's your fighter crush?
Yeah. Sage Northcutt, without a doubt.
All right.
And then I'm going my favorite fighter. I'm going to say, like, my favorite fighter to cover ever was Neil Seary, Irish legend, also Northside. What up? What was the other questions?
Who do you hate in MMA?
Most people, being honest. Sure. So just pick anyone, really. Them, I'd say. And what is the other ones?
What fighter do you think you could smash?
Oh, none of them. I mean, come on, guys. I mean, I'm not on that level.
If you were a fighter, who would you sign for? I assume which fight promotion.
This is a good question. Right, obviously, what are my aspirations as a fighter? I need to ask myself first.
Sure.
Like, do I just want to get paid the most amount of money? I'd say I definitely want to get paid the most amount of money because I don't fancy my success rate with these, you know, actual fighters. So I need to think about that. I also need to think about things like my social life, you know. Will USADA be involved? I can't let them be involved. They're not going to let me fight, therefore earn my money. So I'm going to have to go with probably a Bellator here, get myself a big payday, lose the fight, but sell the story. And that's what I think I'd do. They'd believe. I could make the people believe up until the very second they saw me with my top off, and they'd be like, huh, that's not happening.
That is
fast. So I'm going to weigh in a rash guard as well, if that's okay.
And then dream fight. I don't know if this is a dream fight that you would want to partake in or a dream fight that you would want to see. So I'm going to say both.
All right. My dream fight would be against Jose Youngs or Noel McGrath. I know they're easy wins. You know, like if I'm signing for Bellator and I can pick my opponent, I'm like, get Jose or Noel in here. We just break one of their legs really quick. I become the face of Bellator, the face of Irish MMA. And I get a lot of sponsorships off that. Maybe I could fight you first and then Noel. Like, drum up some, like, situation where, like, oh, Noel's been in training camp. He's back to his peak fitness when he was 14 years old and captain of the rugby team. Can PT handle this kind of dynamic? And then I just go in, rip his leg off, shove it up his ass. And then they're like, you're disqualified. I'm like, I'm not disqualified. It's a win. It's a win. But that's what I go over there. But how about Aaron Chalmers asking these questions and he's like fighting in 3 days in Dublin? This is incredible. What a man.
My questions, I'll start. Who's your favorite fighter to cover? I really like interviewing Joseph Benavidez. He's always a fascinating interview. He understands the dynamics of working with the media, and he does, but he's also one of those guys that doesn't hold back. I also had that. I like talking with him a lot about non-fight related stuff. Growing up, my favorite fighter was the Korean Zombie. It's still to this day one of the only MMA shirts I own. I think that 2013 reigns of the Korean Zombie is still to this day the most exciting fighter I've ever seen in my entire life. Who do you hate in MMA? Oh man. Well, I don't. People are gonna say you hate Niall, but I would never say I hate one of my students. Like, that's just how. Like, when a teacher audibly says I hate a student, that like scars them for life. So when Niall grows up to accomplish anything, like he has to try to accomplish something first before he actually does accomplish something, then maybe I'll tell him my honest opinion of him. But until he reaches that peak, I'm not gonna say I hate one of my students. Right. So ooh, who's that guy who had the giant, I think Esther took the photo of it a long time ago, with the giant swastika on his chest? He had like the dragon tattoo on his chest with the swastika. Melvin Costa, that's his name. Hate that guy. Not a big fan of Nazis. Which MMA fighter do I think I could fight? None. I would get my ass. I've already got my ass handed to me by an MMA fighter when I had an amateur fight. Not going to do that again. Who would I sign for? I feel like I could sign with Bellator and just be someone that they make fight Michael Venom Page on short notice, and then I just get flying knee to the boom. Like, I just get a flying elbow to the head. Maybe I could get, maybe that could fund my trip to London or Dublin. I've never been there. So I'll be like, I'll fight Michael Venom Page, get a free fight to Dublin, get my face caved in. And then I can't fly back because my face is so caved in. They won't let me on a flight because of the pressure, that I just stay in Ireland for a longer time. And then eventually, even with a caved in face, I'll still teach Niall the ins and outs and the intricacies of planet Earth.
So kind.
I know.
So
I'm just trying. I'm just looking out for him. Dream fight, Korean Zombie versus Brian Ortega. I've been saying that since like 2014. When that fight fell apart, so many people tweeted at me. They were like, Jose, I'm sorry for your loss. I'm sorry that this happened to you. And I'm just like, guys, not now. I need to be with my crystals and just, you know. And then who is my fighter crush? I don't.
Don't you come near Sage. Don't you dare. He is mine. Okay, I don't want to. You keep away from Sage Norcutt with that beautiful face of yours.
I don't really have one. I've never really thought about it. Sage is a handsome lad. He's also a fun fact. Of course, as the biggest Star Wars fan on the site, PC Carroll, I don't have to tell you this, but he was in the commercial for one of the lightsabers that came out for the prequel trilogies. Like the little kid that picked up the lightsaber and started doing all the flips and stuff. He also was the kid that used the plastic Wolverine claws in the toy commercial. So there you go.
Wow.
So maybe him. Bet. He's in a lot. He's getting that Star Wars and X-Men money. Wow. I know. So I'll say Roxanne Modafferi, fellow weeb. There you go.
Yes, absolutely.
She's a lovely woman. But thanks, Aaron, for the questions. Good luck in your fight in like 72 hours. I don't know why you're tossing these questions towards us. Just because what does he call Niall?
Steve.
Oh yeah. So me and you, if I'm ever in Dublin or Ireland or London or wherever you frequent these days, we'll grab some coffee or tea, whatever you guys want to call it over there, and we'll talk about the next lesson plan for Steve moving forward, because you know he really wants those two stickers rather than just the one sticker on his homework. So, but thanks for the questions, Aaron, and good luck at 72 hours.
Woo! Geese, what a legend.
Casey, what do we got next for our next question from our lovely listeners? From Joe Corvalley, longtime tweeter. Of course, you can leave us your tweets using hashtag the A-side, or you can respond to us on Twitter. Joe Corvalley has a few, I think. Does this win over Nathaniel Wood do anything for John Thompson beyond maintaining a level of relevance? So should Ray Borg be banned from flyweight? Is there any legitimate defense of Diego Sanchez's cornerman, or is he absolutely a useless disaster? We all viewed him on that night. Also, Niall greater than Jose. Well, I see you've taken my classes, Joe. I'm glad you used greater than sign correctly, because last lesson plan was mathematics. So I'm really glad that more people are tuning into this. I would even call it a TED Talk, because people get paid for that. I'm doing this out of the kindness of my own heart to better the youth of Ireland. So, PT, first question, what does this win for John Dodson do for Nathaniel Wood outside of just maintaining, I assume Joe is meaning?
I mean, I feel as though that's a big deal, though, like to regain relevance in a division like that, like, you know, to stop this surging talent. And look, for a while, it became like Dodson was the litmus test that opens the top of the division for these guys. And now that he's stopped Nathaniel, I mean, that's a big, big plus for him. That bolsters him significantly. I feel as though being relevant is very important in MMA. So I think that's to just say, is that all he's got, kind of diminishes it. Like, being relevant is one of the most important things to these guys in the division. So I feel maybe that is all he got from him, but that is a huge deal, I feel. I mean, especially when you look at Dodson's form. These were the problems that he kept on encountering against these guys, these surging talents as they approach the top of the division. So for me, that's a huge thing that he's regained relevance there. And in New Mexico, where he hails from, huge, huge deal. Like, I mean, and Joe will know himself, like, that how highly we regard Nathaniel over in these neck of the woods. So I think it's a huge deal, to be honest, for John Dodson.
Well, for John Dodson, winning means he gets the rest of his paycheck. And I know he gets two... I know he has two young kids. He's on a two-fight losing streak. Regardless of where this fight took place, this fight could have taken place on the Columbus card, the DC card that happened in December, the Portland card later this year. Like, regardless of, like, yes, winning in New Mexico is great, John Dodson got the rest of his paycheck, his win bonus for winning. So for a father with two young kids, that is obviously very important. He's also, like I said, on a two-fight losing streak in a division that is so very stacked that every win matter. So yes, maybe in terms of rankings and status in the division, this is maintaining, but you need those fights considering how top heavy this is right now. Since Henry Cejudo's not fighting, he's supposedly going to fight Jose Aldo next. All of these contenders are basically just clamoring to circling each other to fight. A lot of them are going to get knocked off soon, I imagine, because they're all going to have to fight each other. So every win is going to be important, because when the dust settles, the people that are winning are going to still be there. So at this point in 2020 for the bantamweight division, regardless of who it's against, where it is on the card, every single fight matters, because in 1 year, the bantamweight division is going to hopefully sort itself out.
Yeah, like, and I mean, it's like, look how quickly fans flip-flop on guys when they lose. Like, it's huge to be relevant. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. We were talking about Michel Pereira before his fight with Diego Sanchez last week. From his first fight, he went to God's gift to MMA. The you know, what an amazing talent. This man's going to change everything for the sport. And then he has a second fight, and, you know, it's not the same display. He doesn't come away with the win, and everyone's like, get rid of him. Oh, he cannot be in the sport. So I feel as though winning relevance is huge in MMA, because losing relevance is like basically a free-for-all for that ravenous fan base on social media who can really cripple people with all the bullshit they throw at them.
I mean, let's look at when Daniel Cormier beat Stipe Miocic. A lot of people were saying, is Daniel Cormier the greatest heavyweight of all time? Yes. As soon as he loses to Stipe, the narrative is now Stipe Miocic is the greatest heavyweight of all time. So now we run that trilogy back. Whoever wins that is apparently going to be the greatest heavyweight of all time just based on the pattern. So, yes, you are very correct. And one loss and all of a sudden people turn on you. So, Dotson, I don't want to say people had turned on him yet, but after fighting a couple fights, who did he fight before Peter Yan? Was it the Jimmy Rivera fight?
I think
that was Dallas 228. So he fought in Dallas and then he fought in Prague, and now he gets to fight at home. So, and we've said before, you really need that footage of like the crowd embracing you and going ballistic for you, like Darren Till beating Wonder Boy. Just the image of the crowd losing their mind when he wins, you need that for a fighter. So the fact that he won, not only won, but won by TKO over such a highly touted prospect in his hometown, like that is going to do wonders in the eyes of the fans, because they might not know anything about John Dotson, but they see the fans going nuts for him. That's what he needed.
Absolutely.
And should Ray Borg be banned from flyweight?
Pretty much. I've very sympathetic to Ray Borg for a number of reasons, but I think at this stage, we went through this last week, the amount of misses, right, ahead of the fight, and you know, you even mentioned he missed a bantamweight before as well, so yeah. I feel like for the good of his health, yes, don't let him fight at flyweight anymore, to be honest.
Or do one of those weight cuts to show you can make the weight. I know Henry Cejudo had to fight at 135, and then his next fight he had to prove he could make 125. Do something like that. But even then, like, he's missed enough weight before. Like, just looking at his resume, I pulled it up right here. Missed weight against Gene Herrera, missed weight against Luis Smoka. Those were two flyweight fights. Missed weight against Casey Kenney at bantamweight, missed weight against most recently against Rogério Bontorin at Rio Rancho. And even then, like, he's pulled out of fights. Someone had tweeted like these stats, like, every time Ray Borg fights, there's like a very high percent of chance he either misses weight or pulls out. It's one or the other. And then very rarely will he make weight and fight. So I don't like using the word banned, because that means you're just gone forever. But maybe pump the brakes on cutting to 125 for the foreseeable future.
Maybe he's just trying to make it his gimmick. He's like, oh, will you? You know, got to think of it from his perspective.
Well, it's like looking at his like, he missed weight against Gene Herrera, he won. Misses weight against Luis Smoka, he won. He misses weight at Rio Rancho, he won. Like, the only fight he's won that he's lost that he's missed weight was Casey Kenney on that UFC Philly card that a lot of people actually think he won. That seemed to be one of those fights that, like, even Ray Borg was surprised at the scorecard. So he's missing weight and he's winning. So
he's like, hey, guys, I missed weight and everything. What do you mean I lost?
Right. So, like, and that's not even counting fights that were, like, he pulled out for, like, he was supposed to fight Joseph Benavidez. And he pulled out, I can't remember off the top. Didn't he have to pull out of one of the fights against Demetrius Johnson? Or it was rescheduled, I think, at the Edmonton card. So. And he even had the glass in his eye on that Brooklyn card. So Ray Borg's been through a lot. Maybe just fighting at 135 and not stressing about the weight cut will just be good for him mentally. But if he believes he can make 125 and he can prove it first, and then we'll talk about you fighting. And is there any legitimate defense of Diego Sanchez's corner man, or is he the absolutely useless disaster we all view him as on that night? So I don't know if you saw any of Diego Sanchez's backstage footage of him, like, warming up, or I know someone put out, like, audio of his cornermen giving him instructions, or even any of it. Or I'm sure you saw all of Diego Sanchez's Instagram and Twitter posts and just, like, roasting the UFC. And I think he roasted Joe Rogan for, like creating a false narrative on the broadcast, but Joe Rogan wasn't even doing play-by-play that night. I don't know the man, so I don't want to talk negative on his coach at all, or because I've never even seen Diego Sanchez. I haven't seen enough of Daniel Sanchez's training camp, but it seemed a little out there, even for Diego. Would you agree?
It's a bit out there, man. You know, I'm all for it, the avant-garde. I'm all for being creative.
Yeah, like but, you do with your haircut, right?
Exactly. You know what I mean? Be free yourself, free your mind, free your follicles. That's what I always say.
Yeah, is that all you have on hair?
That's it. Like, sometimes I just walk up to people on the street with a scissors and I'm like, do it. Do what you will.
Just hand it to them. you know what must be done.
Just do it, man. I'm trying to get a Nike sponsorship for that kind of stuff. Just do it. And with the scissors.
Sure.
Believe. No, that's Adidas. Shit. But anyway. yeah, it's just a bit too much for me. Like, I'm all for it. Like, but like at the end of the day, lads, we're criticizing a winning coach here. So is it well-placed criticism when we're criticizing a winning coach? Because Diego Sanchez won that fight, still active, still winning. Where's the complaints?
Yeah, I mean, one, the W is there. So he's a coach that his fighter got a win bonus.
Yeah. I don't want to be joining in on the false narratives being built around Diego Sanchez and his coach at the moment.
I don't know the man enough. And I'm always for, like, I am all about whatever makes you mentally comfortable. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Bull Durham, it's a baseball movie where he's like, whatever superstition you have, whatever got to get you in the right frame of mind, do it. If that means opening every door with your left hand, do it. If that means like wearing glasses upside down when you enter the ballpark, do it. Like, I'm for, if whatever gets you mentally focused, like, go for it. Like, I always wear the same pair of socks every fight card. Fun story. I cover fights.
I like to put my legs behind my head when Jose asked me to on media days.
See, here's the difference. I don't ask you to.
Yes, you do. And he's like, why is he doing it? He's his camera.
This is what happened. You said, did you know I'm the most flexible person that you've ever met? And I say, what are you talking about? And I said, why? And you said, and I quote, watch this. And then just laid on the ground and did it. I didn't ask you to do that. I didn't even tell you to do it. I think you should follow your dreams.
Look, if he's not going to ask me and repeat what he did before, I can't do this.
Someone is saying that, PT, there's no possible way you're that flexible.
Well, I'm wearing jeans here, right? So hang on, I'm just going to have to take this belt off. Excuse me.
Are you kidding? All right, guys, for people just listening right now, PT is taking his belt off and he's going to
put you ready?
Sure.
He's in jeans. Pair of 519s over here. It's not a lot of breathing room.
I'm afraid
the chair is going to go back as well, but.
I hope so.
Here we go. Oh, yeah! See what I'm saying? All day, every day.
Fun story. No one asked you about that. I made that question up just so you would do it. You're welcome.
I'm living my dream, okay? Just like Kevin Costner in Waterworld.
Quote, unquote, you are living your best truth, as the youths say of America.
Isn't that just mean, like, living your best truth is like, does that just mean everyone thinks you're being an asshole, but no one's willing to tell you?
Maybe.
What do I think it means?
And then, of course, Niall, greater than Jose. We've talked about that. Niall is, of course, learning mathematics right now. For a long time, he thought 2 + 2 = 22 because you thought you just put the numbers next to one another. Nope, but it is 4, Niall. 4.
Keep those timetables, babe. You're going to be able to do it. I believe in you, Niall.
Next question, of course, as Casey, I think, gives us the sign to move on as he just tees up a question. Benavidez versus Figueiredo from longtime commenter Trumbo. Title fight coming up in less than 2 weeks. Who do you favor in this one? I know Joe B is a sentimental favorite, but his striking has barely progressed in the last 5 years. No jab, wing, overhands, all very team alpha male from 2014. Do you see him having good? Do you see him having enough to beat Figueiredo? So yes, Pete, of course, Joe Benavidez, a friend of the site, UFC's resident cinephile, is fighting for the vacant flyweight championship of the world against Davison Figueiredo. Joseph Benavidez, of course, fought for the inaugural flyweight championship against Demetrius Johnson. I can't remember what card that was, but I believe it was the co-main event for the John Jones Vitor Belfort card. I may be mistaken. I'm not 100%. But he event and then again lost to Demetrius Johnson in the rematch on that Sacramento card, on that Fox card in Sacramento, and then he recently lost. He beat Henry Cejudo. I think he lost to Sergio Pettis. I can't remember off the top of my head. I think that was in Chicago too. But nonetheless, he has won a lot since. He hasn't fought since the last fight card in Chicago. I believe it was UFC 238 when he head kicked Formiga and then finished him. He has fought Davinson Figueiredo, who's been an absolute tear. He won that fight of the night against Pantoja up in Edmonton. So the scene is set for the vacant flyweight championship of the world. Who do you favor heading into the fight in Norfolk?
I think I do probably favor Figueiredo, but as a media guy, I mean, Benavidez's story is incredible. And look, I don't think it's completely fair to say this guy hasn't improved since 2014. I think that's a bit wild. I mean, he's on a 3-fight win streak at the moment. But look, Figueiredo looks incredible. But I think the best story for the night would be Benavidez coming out the win. I do favor Figueiredo, but I certainly don't write off Benavidez in any way, shape, or form. I think he's been consistently one of the great flyweights in the UFC, a perennial title contender. So, I mean, I don't think it's a lock by any stretch of the imagination that Figueiredo wins. But in my heart of hearts, I would slightly favor him on the night.
And I will make a correction. He beat Formiga on that Minneapolis card, not the Chicago card. That was headlined by Ngannou and who was it? JDS. And then Davidson Figueiredo's tapped out Tim Elliott on that UFC Tampa Bay card. So just based off of performances lately, there's no argument that these two are the rightful contenders for the vacant flyweight championship of the world. And we spoke with Joseph Benavidez backstage in Las Vegas, and he was one of the guest fighters, and he even said, like, honestly, having the belt fighting for the belt is just kind of the cherry on top. Like, he just wanted a fight, because Ben since, I think, June, he wanted to fight a guy that he hadn't fought yet. He seemed really excited for a lot of new blood. Like, you asked him about Askar Askarov, and he goes, I'm excited to fight all these guys that I never fought before. Like, the belt is just kind of the thing on top of everything, so... I favor Joseph Benavidez because he's proven that he hasn't who's he lost to? Dominic Cruz twice and Demetrius Johnson twice. The greatest flyweight and then a man in Demetrius Johnson and then Dominic Cruz, many people consider one of, if not the greatest bantamweights of all time. And then the Sergio Pettis fight at UFC 225 in Chicago was a split decision. Some people thought he might have won that fight. So he's losing. It seems similar to the John Dodson situation where he's losing to people in like the top three or even not even top three, like top one. Like, he's been the second best at flyweight for so long, just behind Demetrius Johnson. Even has a win over Henry Cejudo, who was champ and beat was the man to dethrone Henry Cejudo. I really would have liked to see that rematch before Henry Cejudo vacated his championship of the world. But I just seem, based on the track record, I know Figueiredo is hot right now, but so is Nathaniel Wood when he had all these stoppages in a row. And we saw what happened to John, what happened when he fought someone like John Dodson. I have to favor Joseph Benavidez just based on his track record over the years.
Well, here's the thing as well. I see it all the time. People overlook experience way too much in MMA.
Yeah. Look at Macy Barber and Roxanne Modafari.
Absolutely. You know, they just look at the hot person and they're like, oh, yeah, that's that. And look, I've even admitted myself, I've been blown away by Figueiredo, and that's why I'm slightly going towards him. But as I said, like, I think Benavidez has been one of the best flyweights for many, many years, as I said. And I can't tell you the amount of times we've seen a guy with more experience. Like, I'd say Benavidez, like, I don't have his record there at the top of my head, but I'd say he has double the fights, Figueiredo has. I'd imagine it's close to that anyway. Like, if you're going to tell me that doesn't factor into anything, you're crazy. That's a huge, huge advantage. And we're talking about flyweights here where, you know, he's been in there for probably 25 minutes a lot of the time when he has fought title fights and stuff like that. He is aware of what it's like to fight for a title. He has done that on multiple occasions. Like, that's a huge experience advantage going into this fight as well, which can't be overlooked.
Joseph Benavidez has 33 professional fights, and Davidson Figueiredo has 18 professional fights. Figueiredo has 8. I'm just trying to do math. He has he's 17-1. He has 18 KOs. Benavidez also has 8 TKOs/KOs. Joseph Benavidez has 9 submissions. Figueiredo has 6 submissions. So pretty even in terms of skill set. I think Figueiredo might be a little more violent because he seems to end a lot of his fights end with bloodshed. But Benavidez also has proven that no matter where the fight goes. Like, remember that? I think his fight against Dustin Ortiz on the Brooklyn card is incredibly underrated. Like, that was such high-level grappling. Like, it was basically a 15-minute wrestling match where – but it wasn't, like, stalling. It was just constant moving and submissions and transitions and scrambles. Like, I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed that fight. And that was – and sandwiched between that, and he has his TKO win over Formiga and his TKO win over Alex Perez. So he's knocking people out, and he's just outworking people. So, again, I just have to favor Joseph Benavidez in this fight. I see him as one of the greatest fighters to never win a championship. And if I put money on it, I'm putting money on that changing. But we're moving right along. Casey's teeing up another question from Ian O'Neill on Twitter, hashtag the A-side. What do you make of Judge Joe Solis' apparent conflict of interest? He trains at the same gym as Trevin Giles is currently involved with. Should this be appealed by Krause? So, yes, Pete, I don't know if you heard. I'm sure you have. There's clear conflict of interest between Joe Solis, who is, I believe, got his black belt from someone that trains with or trains Trevin Giles or a former coach.
His head coach, I believe it was. Aaron Bronstetter's report, right?
Yes, from Aaron Bronstetter at TSN. Give him a shout-out, a friend of the show. Clear conflict of interest. It is clearly, like, if you get a black belt from someone, don't judge their student's next fight. This has happened before. Off the top of my head, I think Ally Quinta had something similar in the past. I can't remember the coach. I can't remember the fight or who the judge was, but I clearly remember it was Ally Quinta. I think there was something weird with the Gilbert Melendez, Benson Henderson one in San Jose, or maybe it was the Diego Sanchez, Ross Pearson one in Albuquerque. I can't quite remember that, but we've seen this before, clear conflict of interest. But what do you make of this situation, and should this be appealed by Krause?
Oh, 100%. I mean, we talked about the star-making power that he had going in event and what should have happened afterwards. After a fantastic display, he steps up on a day's notice, puts in this outrageous performance, and all of us left scratching our heads wondering why hasn't he won this fight. You know, I think he's the first round being scored for Giles was on Solis's card as well, and that's a complete piss take. You know, this stuff happened a lot 10 years ago in the UK and Ireland, when there's just actually not enough people to referee. There's not enough people to, you know, we just didn't have enough people involved in the sport to avoid some conflicts of interest. Like, some, it happens to a lesser degree still here today and in the US, but these commissions, it's a joke that, you know, they haven't stepped in and tried to, you know, study this. Have they looked into this when you're appointing people to fights? Do they make these people sign disclaimers to say, I have no ties to this fighter, and if he has signed a disclaimer, he absolutely shouldn't referee again. Judge again. He shouldn't be involved in any shape or form. I feel as though when we are being critical of scorecards and stuff like that, we vilified an awful lot of people, and maybe for a week we're throwing them under the bus left, right, and center. And I'm always like, come on, let's relax. This guy is a person too. But when this extra layer of it's developed, he absolutely shouldn't be involved in the sport in that capacity anymore. And he can't be trusted in that capacity anymore. And really, I think the commission, if they haven't asked, they need to put some things in place to make sure that doesn't happen. This is the pinnacle of the sport. And I think it's a joke that it's happened. And Krause should absolutely appeal it. He deserved to have his hand raised on the night. And he deserved to get all the plaudits and praise and a spotlight put on him after that win. So, yeah, I think it's a joke.
Was this, like, it's a big deal, and it's clearly a conflict of interest, and you shouldn't have done it, but you said you scored that fight for James Krause?
No, I believe it was the first round, wasn't it? Like, Solis had scored the first round for Giles.
Yeah, that's egregious. Like, that makes no sense to me. The first round was so clearly James Krause. Then the second two rounds, I actually scored it for Giles. So it's not like, I don't believe Krause was robbed of a win. I think even if even if this judge had given him the first round, I still would have had it 29-28 Giles. But at the end of the day, I don't know if that's as Casey teased it up. The majority of media scored it for Giles. Two people had it a draw, and then two people had it for Kraus.
Well, so, look, if Solid scores the first round for Kraus, because the third round was competitive, if Solid scores the first round for Kraus there, he wins the fight.
That is true. So that is true.
It's not a complete robbery, but when you look at the scorecards there, you're like, you know, it's not a complete robbery in the sense it was a competitive fight. But when you look at the scorecards like that, and one round has swayed it from a Kraus victory to a Giles victory, I mean, that's pretty crazy to me.
And then Esther Lynn brought up that it was Doug Crosby was the referee one of the judges that has a hit that has been tied to some of this drama before. He had that when Ally Quinta fought Jorge Masvidal. I guess he had beef. This judge, Doug Crosby, had beef with the Cerro Longo team, and he was the judge that scored it for 30-27 for Masvidal. I don't know if you remember that fight being very, very close.
Mm. That's I can remember the talk afterwards more so than the exact fight. I don't have one of those beautiful minds like you do for your remembrance of MMA. But this stuff has to stop. It's taken away. Like look at the shit that the boxing's in. Like every time there's a big fight, it's nearly ruined by officiating. So I mean, I don't want
MMA. Who's that judge, Adelaide Bird? Like her name is tied to controversy. Like if there's any sort of controversy in judging, the first comment's always, "Oh, it looks like Adelaide Bird's judging MMA now." So like you don't want to be that judge.
But I do want to say, I always like to make sure that I say that I know brilliant judges, I know brilliant referees in this sport. They all shouldn't be tarred with the same brush. We should take them out individually rather than group them as a whole. Same way as people are always like, oh, the media is this and the media is that. And like, we've never done anything like that in our life, but we're tired with that. So I do know that there's fantastic judges out there and fantastic referees. But if there's one this blatantly not doing it right, get rid of them.
Moving along, as Casey tees up another question, I like how Casey's moving, keeping us on track.
Yeah, it's like, shut your face, go.
Shut your face. From longtime commenter Lodovic, true or false, PT? So I'll name these off. You can expand a little bit if you want, because we're a little past the halfway point. True or false, John versus Jan is next.
Yes, true.
So true. Jan has a realistic chance to bean John Jones.
I think you can absolutely bean John Jones.
Yeah, like bean him with what?
Bean him with beans, obviously. Bachelor's baked beans, man. What else?
Okay. John Dodson's win was an early stoppage as Nathaniel was getting back up. When the ref stopped it.
I have seen a lot of people talk about it. Yeah, you probably could have let the fight go on, but I think Dodson was up in the fight anyway. And after scoring a big moment like that, you're looking at kind of nearly battling yourself back from a 10-8 round.
You had Dodson winning that fight up until that point?
I think it was either one each or two to Dodson. Like, I felt like he was doing really well. Actually, hang on. Did Wood take us back in the second round?
I don't remember the exact rounds, but a lot of people thought Nathaniel Wood was winning that when I was watching it live.
Oh, I don't think he was winning. No, okay. Certainly not.
Well, it was close. I can see why people think it might be a stoppage, but at the end of the day, refs are there so you don't take unnecessary stoppage.
Look, if when he gets hit with the left hook, I believe it was, he's at sixes and sevens. There's a big distance created between the two fighters. And Nathaniel is still kind of, to me, looking at it, not being Nathaniel, I'm looking at it thinking he's still very disoriented. He's looking around to see where Dodson's coming from. Dodson comes in, he's landing a lot of shots as Nathaniel's getting back to his feet. I'm probably thinking the referee is looking at Nathaniel covering the front of his face as Dodson lands around here. He's like stopping the fight as Nathaniel's getting back to his feet. It's a tough moment. I'm not too angry about it. I think we're going to see Nathaniel back up against the top contenders in the division again. And he's still very young. I'd rather see an early stoppage than a late stoppage.
True or false, despite the unanimous decision victory, Lando Venata's performance was actually a little disappointing.
I guess he's fine about
victory. Disappointing for who? He won, so he got the rest of his paycheck.
Like, I guess he's talking about the fact that Lando's been in so many memorable fights and people are expecting, like we were as well, let's be honest, when we did our preview.
If you have to blame someone, it is 100% Casey's fault. Like, if you remember our preview show, he said, like, Lando versus Yancey has a 0% chance of being boring. It's a guaranteed performance bonus. Like, it is 100% Casey's fault.
It's I'm afraid to say that because he hits me when he sees me in person. So it's my fault, okay?
When are you going to learn to fight back, man?
Listen, it's just his mustache. It's too powerful. I just recoil.
Oh, see, you have a natural Brillo pad on your head that you can just start scraping people with on the top of your head.
Yeah. It's kind of like the way you can't look directly at your hair. Do you know when we see in the sunshine? Like,
right.
Especially my poor eyes from cold. See,
someday you'll learn the magic of conditioner, and then that natural weapon you have will.
It's all the same. It's all the same. Conditioner, shampoo. You're being tricked by the media.
True or false? Dan Hooker beats Paul Felder at UFC Auckland, which is this weekend. That's tough.
I'm picking Hooker. Yeah,
I'll say false just so I could be different. That fight, I was at that fight that Dan Hooker had against Edson Barbosa. That was the definition of a beatdown right there. Dan Hooker's body just gave out against Edson Barbosa. So I'm going to say false just so I can be different. But I am so 50-50 on that fight. That fight absolutely rules to me.
It really does. It's a great fight. And we are all hoping Paul Felder will be brought over to Dublin as the Irish Dragon. So that would be fantastic. Oh, look at this.
Ian O'Neill on Twitter. Has he figured out how to read that book yet? By that book, I assume you mean Akira. Which, if any of you haven't, you can go find the clip on my Twitter. Pizzi had been reading the book Akira backwards because he didn't realize people in Japan read the opposite direction as the rest of the world. Well, not the rest of the world. People here in America and Europe.
I know I start from here now, but I just haven't been able to bring myself to do it ever since the full reptile, the Raptors clip came out of me. It's going like, what's going on here? And I was like, are you serious?
Do you know how many people on that that clip kind of blew up for 2 days? Like,
yeah, like people, fuck just, you, PT.
People were like rinsing you. Man, I wish that was like 10 minutes before Roxy came out for her media day scrum. I wish we had gotten that on camera. You just like shaming yourself in front of Roxy. It might have been the first.
I couldn't stop laughing, man. Roxy
is the nicest person on the UFC roster. She wouldn't have been mad. She would have just been disappointed.
Yeah, and that would have hurt. That would have hurt so much, man. I wouldn't have been able for that. You know what I mean? But
that week would have gone from worse because your face was broken.
I genuinely, the most disappointing thing about this is, like, I was really trying to read this like 50 times, and I was so excited to read it, and then like I just can't. It was desperate. Like,
have the collector's edition. My edition, which is behind me on the shelf, you would be able to read that left to right.
If you want, I'll sign it for you when I see it. Just bring it to the next event.
You want to sign my copy of my book?
Yeah. You would throw a few more euro on it. You know what I mean? That's what I'll do. You know what I mean? If you want me to sweat on it, I can do that too.
No, thank you.
Anything you want.
I don't
want
to get another virus sent brought back to America. From Susanna Fights, who has been one of our most vocal commenters and tweeters lately, big time supporter. What's next for Corey? I assume what's next for Corey Anderson. So Corey Anderson, of course, was finished by Jan Blachowicz, UFC Rio Rancho main event. First round, pretty violently, no issue with the stoppage whatsoever. But what is next for Corey? A lot of people, including John Jones, assumed if Corey had won, he was clearly next in line. John Jones even predicted Corey would win, but Jan Blachowicz got revenge from their first fight with a violent first round knockout, not TKO knockout. What did you make of his performance, and what do you want to see next from Corey?
It's tough to kind of think of who you'd want to see. Like, I mean, what about, has Volkan Ozdemir fought since he fought Rakic?
I don't believe so.
That might be a good one. I feel like Volkan's in a weird spot, like, because he was suddenly this contender like Corey was. And then he lost so many in a row and it kind of completely diminished. But then he gets a win over Rakic and he's kind of back in the picture. Whereas,
For Volkan, yeah, he gets those three wins in a row. He gets the win over OSP on short notice. He KOs Misha and he KOs Jimmy. But then do you remember who he lost to in that three-fight losing streak? He's not losing.
Daniel Cormier.
DC, Anthony Smith, and Dominic Reyes. And a lot of people thought he beat Dom Reyes. And then he sends Ilir Latifi up to heavyweight with a knockout. And then he pulls off a split decision over Alexander Radchik. So he's not losing to quote-unquote bums.
Mm. Yeah, so, I mean, maybe that is a good fight. I'm a genius.
The Volkan fight? Yeah. We also have that light heavyweight scrap against Glover Teixeira and Anthony Smith coming up. I think Corey Anderson has a win over Glover. I don't know if he wants that. Off the top of my head, I can't quite remember. But light heavyweight rankings, Gustafson might come back. I keep hearing he might want to tangle. Johnny Walker.
Where are you on that? Where are you on that, like?
Him coming back?
Yeah.
If he wants to come back, by all means, come back. I think he might. Maybe he retired in the heat of the moment, similar to Stefan Struve, where it didn't seem like anything was going right for him. He lost to John Jones. He just lost to Anthony Smith in front of his home country. He's a new dad, so maybe he just – his head wasn't – he needed a break. So he retires. But if he wants
to come back – I was in Sweden for that, man. It was like mourning. Like, it was – everyone's, like, nearly crying in the media room and shit. I was like, whoa, this is – insane. You can really get a tangible feel of how much he means to the scene over there, like, in a moment like that. I would have loved to be at that stadium show. I didn't go to that, unfortunately, but I guess he is a huge name in that Nordic region, and as you're trying to make Hermansson or one of these guys bleed them through as the next guy there, an event with Bo Hermansson and Gustafsson would be big money in the Nordic regions, I feel. So,
Corey Anderson runs that back. Casey Lydon wants Corey versus Jiri, the Ryzen champion that's coming over.
Jiri Prohaska, that's a great fight.
I love that scrap. I think a win over Corey would kind of just catapult Jiri into the top five immediately. I should have asked John Jones when we were in Houston if he even pays attention to the rest of the division outside of the UFC, but I like that fight. So there you go. Book it.
I just fear as though I fear that they won't rush Jiri in against someone like Corey. Like I feel like he's gonna have a debut against Krylov or someone like that.
Well, Krylov's fighting Johnny Walker in Brazil.
Oh, well,
Serkinov would be a good fight.
Yeah, right. That is true.
From Sean Denny on Twitter, as Casey tees up another question: if a burglar breaks in at night, what weapons do you have ready to smash them with? I know you have your Brillo pad on the top of your head. Will you just run and flying headbutt them? And then you grab them by the face and you start rubbing your head against them. And then you take the mountains and mountains of shampoo you have and just pour it all over his face. So
there's no difference. Just screaming it. No, but like, seriously, if you come into my house, I'm going to stab you 18 times in the head. That's what's going to happen. And I'm just going to laugh. As you die, I'm just going to be like,
why 18?
Because it's 666, the number of the beast, isn't it? That's why.
All right. That's acceptable.
Yeah, that's why. And then I'm going to like rip out your entrails and read the future off them.
All right. Well, I don't have an answer then because I would probably just use the nunchucks that are sitting next to me.
Nice. Don't hit yourself, though. I've done that before.
I know how to use... Yeah. Fun fact, nunchucks are illegal in Arizona.
Ah, what a lovely state.
Question from Grin N, Diego Sanchez. I feel like it goes without saying that Diego Sanchez is one of the toughest fighters on the UFC roster. But do you feel like Diego would have to choose to continue his fight against Michel Pereira if he was being paid a flat fee as opposed to earning a Sean Wynn purse? Also, what are your thoughts on Diego now preparing for his fights with his one and only coach, Joshua Fabia? Of course, Diego Sanchez won by disqualification. I think I had Michel Pereira up 2-0 and winning the third round. I know Diego's coach or Diego was saying that he might have won the first round. I don't think that to be the case. Michel Pereira, I think, was comfortably up 2-0 and was minutes away from winning a 30-27 scorecard. Before that illegal knee, Diego Sanchez was given the option to stop the fight, couldn't continue. But he got the DQ win nonetheless, got his win bonus, got back in the win column. Michel Pereira is now on a two-fight losing streak, and Diego Sanchez gets back into the win column after losing to Michael Chiesa. What did you make of his decision? And if you were in that situation, what would you do?
If I got an illegal kick to the head against a UFC fighter and I'm in a cage and they're like, here, mate, you can leg it now and we're going to pay you twice the money, I'm out of there. I am out of there because I'm smart. That's why. I mean, like, what else do we need to see Diego do? Like,
I mean, he's been in wars after war after war, and he's been illegally hit there. Like, I mean, I love that these guys sitting at home, you know, we're deciding whether he can go in there and do that or not. The only person who knows that is Diego.
Right.
Does it give me confidence that he's only with one coach now? No, it doesn't. Not at all. And what was the other part of that question?
If he was paid a flat fee, so win or lose, you make the same amount. Do you think he would have continued fighting?
Like, I mean, Jose's talking about, like, you know, Michel Pereira was on his way to victory. I mean, did you not see the Rolling Thunder attempts that Diego had in that fight? I feel like Diego was seconds away from victory. Once that landed, it was a game over.
Right, from the five-finger death punch to the chest.
And who did he learn that from? Huh? Yeah, his new coach.
Fair play. I agree with what you said. I'm not Diego Sanchez. I didn't take the illegal knee. I think it's weird when fans are calling out Diego. A lot of people say, veteran move, this and that. I take an illegal knee to the face, and my face is cut open, and I'm going to have to wear this scar for the rest of my life. Like, if I can't fight, I can't fight. I'm sorry, man. It's not like he did anything illegal. Like, Diego Sanchez just played by the rules. Like, he got caught. They asked him, can you fight? He said no. And that's a wrap. Like, does it even, like, what's the argument? Is the argument, should he continue fighting? Like, I don't know. I'm not him. Like, all I know is he took an illegal knee. He said he couldn't fight, and the referee waved it off. I don't see what the controversy is. Like, yeah, run it back, because I think Michel Pineda was about to win. But I would not call, like, how weird is it in 2020? We're 2 months into 2020, and the narrative from MMA fans is Donald Cerrone and Diego Sanchez quit. Like, these two men of all people, like, two, like, Diego Sanchez will literally fight anyone and will, like, run, like, literally sprint across the octagon, throw a Rolling Thunder. Remember when he was on the Ultimate Fighter, like, trying to harness the lightning?
And then, yes! Like, this Mother cat, Ocean, when he's just jumping into the sea, like, ah!
This cat fight literally anybody. Like, when I interviewed him before UFC 239, that was one of my favorite interviews I ever done, because he would not, I don't think he blinked once. And I loved every second of it. So, and the Donald Cerrone would literally fight anyone and still get paid way less than he should. So, no, these guys aren't quote unquote cowards. Donald Cerrone lost fair and square. He himself said it. He broke his nose in that fight. Probably shouldn't have taken that fight because of all the fights he had before. And then Diego Sanchez took an illegal knee. What's the problem here? It's not like they're breaking the rules.
No, but literally, that is what the rules are there for. You know, that is why they are there. You know, like, I don't know what else to say. But look, we need to find something to cry about every week anyway. That's what MMA fans do. Oh, never forget this. And then you're on to something on the next week every time.
Esther wants to add that the narrative should be it's okay to say, to quote unquote, to not quit, but say, like, self-preservation should be acceptable in mixed martial arts these days. And last question from Phil, or one of the last questions from Phil O'Connor, very good friend of the show, even made an appearance on our official weigh-in live stream. This is the wildest hashtag MMA content out there. First question, when will Niall McGrath get the right to reply on the A side? Well, anytime Niall wants to come on, all he has to do is walk out of the pub, find the computer, and hop on. Like, it's all you got to do.
He actually lives in my wardrobe, but I just check real quick if he wants to hang on.
You're telling me?
No, he can't. No. He's having a drink.
You're telling me Niall's still in the closet? You can't even hear me. You're telling me Niall is still in the closet?
That's it, man. That's what I just told you.
Well, anytime Niall wants to come on down, man. Just got to walk out of the pub, walk past the sandwich shop, get a booster chair for your camera, and there you go. What was the second question Phil had? Do either of you know where my glasses are? I think Niall took them because he wanted to burn bugs in the backyard using the sun.
Yeah, I hope your glasses are there soon, actually, Phil. He's getting some new pairs of glasses sent over from Ireland.
Two more questions from Zua01. Habib versus Tony, less than 2 months. How dare you bring this up?
Wow.
Just the biggest fight in MMA ever.
Oh, come on, man.
If not, the biggest fight. First of all, how dare you bring this question up, sir or ma'am? I am on record saying this fight will never happen, and the more we talk about it, the less likely this will happen. Is this the biggest fight in MMA ever? No, I don't think it is. It might be the big. It's one of the. It's one of the biggest fights. I think it's in terms of high level martial arts. I think we've talked about. I don't know if we've talked about it, but I know when we had Mike Heck on the show, he filled in for you once, and Anthony Walker, our good friend, he also filled in for you. We both agreed that the four times this fight has fallen apart has led to this moment, and it has never been bigger. So I am fine with the four previous times they fell apart, because right now these are the two best lightweights in the world, and whoever wins I think should be considered the greatest lightweight of all time. But doesn't matter, because it's not going to happen.
I think it's in terms of...
Wow, I'm getting feedback all of a sudden. Go ahead.
It's kind of like... I was listening to my good friend's Fight Disciple speak about Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder now today, and they were kind of like... We don't actually recognize how little it actually happens that the two best guys in a division are actually fighting each other. Like, like ask anyone really who knows MMA who are the two best lightweights in the world. They're going to say Tony Ferguson and Khabib Nurmagomedov.
Yeah.
So for that reason, I think it's the most, it's one of the most fan-friendly fights out there in terms of all the people who know the sport can't wait for this fight. It means more to them than probably any other fight. That's going. It probably doesn't have the ability to transcend the sport like a McGregor fight does or something like that. But when you're talking about actual MMA fans, people who know what's going down here, this is one of the biggest fights ever, without a doubt. But I really don't want to talk about it anymore because Jose's making the face at me and he's going to get very angry very soon if I keep on.
The more you talk about it, the more I'm going to send curses at you. And if there's one thing I know, it's the Irish are terrified of curses. So
yeah, we are.
Don't make me do that to you. But for the last 5 minutes, we're going to jump to the YouTube comments so we can read anything you guys want to chat about. I've been sort of keeping up with what you guys have been talking. There seems to be a real big argument between Izzy and Romero happening. Some people think Izzy's going to win. Some people think Romero's going to win.
Oh, the two of them are fighting.
We can save that conversation for when that fight is actually like we're there. Because a lot of people are arguing about that one. Some people are saying Diego Sanchez was smart, but he should get rid of his coach. I don't want to say any fighter should get rid of their coach. In question from the Ice King, which I'm going to save for next week, what Dungeons and Dragons class would each UFC champion be? Excellent question. I have a lot of thoughts on that, but I'm not going to talk about it on this one because there's not enough time.
Same. I was nearly just going to shout out the answers there really quickly, but I will keep my Dungeons and Dragons things together.
Someone says, the real question is, will Tony Ferguson wear sunglasses indoors?
Hopefully. Often. And all the time. It's the only way I accept him.
Someone says, this person says, vegans suck. Felder is going to beat the brakes off Soy Boy Hooker.
Is Hooker a vegan? Like, why would you pick a fight based on their nutritional... all right. Thank you for that.
Let's see. Felder KOs Hooker mid to late third round. Someone wants to talk about Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder. We got a handful of questions on that since we got a few questions.
I can't wait. I've literally got the big fight bug, man. And you know, I will say one thing. So you guys have ESPN in the USA for your UFC coverage. We have BT Sports, and BT Sports is actually carrying the Wilder Fury fight as well. And a lot of people complain about BT Sports and their MMA coverage, but their boxing coverage is absolutely amazing, man. Like, I mean, I have just been lost getting, like, you know, by accident, you're like clicking on a video and you're like, oh, I've been here for 2 hours. You know what I mean? It's that good. They had a brilliant roundtable up with Tyson Fury's father involved and everything. Like, they're really, for a casual boxing fan, which I definitely am, they've really sold this to me, and I cannot wait. I cannot wait for Saturday night. After Bellator Dublin, after UFC Auckland, we're going to get Fury v. Wilder. I think that's great, and it's a great narrative, and it's the biggest fight in boxing at the moment.
I love boxing. I think high-level elite boxers doing their thing is such a joy to watch. If you give me, a top two boxer and like a fight night UFC card, like I'll watch the fight night card on the side and I'll put the boxing match on my big screen just because high level boxing is such a joy to watch. Oscar Willis of the Mac Life, who's been on the preview shows and post fight shows a few times. We were in Houston and he sat down in the media room and he goes, Jose, what are you working on? I go, I'm just editing this footage. He goes, stop doing that and watch this promo that BT Sports put out for it was like Mike Tyson was like talking, and then there was like this animated stuff of Fury and Wilder, and I watched it. It might have been 80 seconds long, and I was like, that might have been the single greatest promo I have ever seen in my entire life for any sport. And I think I've watched it maybe every single day since that night. So to say BT Sport does a phenomenal job, it would be an understatement. But we are running way short on time. A lot of stuff we could have talked about. I'm sorry we didn't get to your question. But PT, as always, the floor is yours. The promo, I know you got some Bellator Dublin stuff in the works coming up. So plug anything you want to plug.
I'm just really looking forward to debuting my new socks at Bellator. So if you see me, ask me to show you my socks with my dog and my missus on them, so I can show you them. That's all I've got today, guys. I've got a lot of work on my plate this week. So just focused on the task at hand. Been doing sit-ups, pull-ups, and getting people to hit me with sticks out the back garden. Like that. So I'm ready to go. So I'm sorry I don't have a promo, but believe me, hit me with a stick this week and watch how well I will take it. I'll just smile at you.
So if you disappear for a few hours, we know you've been knocked unconscious.
Or else I'm stabbing someone 18 times in the head and reading the future from their entrails.
All right. Well, my promo is watch all of PT's stuff at Bellator Dublin. What is it? Bellator 240?
Thanks for editing it, Casey. I love you. Thank you for making me look good.
And shout out to Casey and Esther for all this awesome director work. It's looked absolutely phenomenal. You can't see them, but they're running everything back there. They really came up with this awesome idea. I hope you guys enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Keep sending in your questions. Send in your video questions, too. This, of course, will be on Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, because a lot of people still listen to this. For those listening that can't see anything, go back and watch it on YouTube. Watch PT put his foot behind his head. And then stick around on the YouTube site and watch all his Bellator Dublin stuff coming. Of course, UFC Auckland is this weekend. Tyson, Fury, and Deontay Wilder are fighting. So an awesome week for combat sports and MMA fighting. We'll have coverage of all of it. Maybe not live coverage, but we will cover as much as possible. So stay on our site. Stay on the YouTube page. Just keep our browsers open at all time. But for Jose, that's PT. We're out.
Send me conditioner recommendations.
More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot, because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle. It's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.